This is Deacon Steve Greco, and I'm radio host of the show Empowered by the Spirit. I've recently written a book, Expect and Experience Miracles, that is available on Amazon. And the reason we did that is because the Lord Jesus Christ wants to shower us with His love and shower us with His grace, which is unmerited favor. The definition of miracle is God's supernatural intervention in our lives. And Jesus does that all the time. Let's be open to it. Expect miracles, and you will see the grace that God has in store for you. God bless you all.
Welcome to this week's edition of Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio, hosted by Deacon Steve Greco of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. For the next hour, join Deacon Steve and his guests as they share their testimonies, love of their Catholic faith, and the importance of the Holy Spirit in all our lives. Now, here's Deacon Steve.
Hello, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco, and we are back here high atop the Tower of Hope, beautiful Christ Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, with an amazingly special, wonderful person by the name of Kelly Greco. Kelly is my niece, my goddaughter, and she is a psychologist and someone that works at University of Southern California. And we have the longest introduction of all time. I just want to say that because she is so special. Okay, are you ready? Listening audience, are you ready? She is the Associate Professor of Psychiatry and the Behavioral Sciences at the Keck School of Medicine, University of Southern California, Assistant Director of Outreach and Prevention Services, and Engelman Student Health Center, and of course, a wonderful psychologist. Welcome to the show, Kelly.
Thank you very much.
It's great to have you here, and it's such a blessing to talk about young adults and mental health. There are so many issues and pressures today. It's absolutely mind-boggling. I thought it was bad when you were growing up or when I was growing up.
Right.
But somehow the pressure is so great today, and the need to have Jesus at the center of our relationships, to have hope, is so important. This Deacon Steve Greco, we're on Powered by the Spirit, talking about this critical issue of mental health and mental health with students in college and young adults and so forth. And let's just start at the very beginning. What is mental health?
Mental health is your state of being in terms of well-being and your state of mind. So as I look at it, it's about taking care of your mind, right? Just like as we take care of our body in a medical sense, we need to take care of our mind and well-being.
Jesus told us in John 10:10, I've come to give you life and life abundantly. To have abundant life means that you have really awesome mental health.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we look at this fourth chapter of Philippians, and it says very clearly, whatever is praiseworthy, whatever is worth thinking about, think about these things, then you're going to have praise, you're going to have well-being, you're going to have peace.
Mm-hmm.
And so many times we're thinking about things that are negative, that really impact us. And there's just so much pressure on today. But before we get into that, tell us about your background, yourself, and why you chose to get into becoming a psychologist.
Yeah, psychology has been something very important to me. My parents will tell you, even in my early years, I was volunteering at a crisis hotline back in high school, taking calls in the middle of the night as a teenager, helping others that were struggling. And that just progressed. And so that was always in the background. I was actually a dance major in undergrad. And a great one, by the way. Thank you. So dance has always been a passion of mine, but psychology was always there in the background. And as I went to undergrad, I then had some mentors, which we all need, to help kind of guide us and support us and help us believe in ourselves and kind of show us the way. And I had some wonderful mentoring at the end of my undergraduate career that led me then to my master's and then my doctorate. And then had some opportunities at some college counseling centers, and that then just opened the door for opportunity, as well as just feeling that that was really my calling and a place that I became very passionate to work and serve and be by the side of many young adults that are struggling during college years.
My brothers and sisters, you may want to let people know to listen to the show, and you can listen to the podcast too at OC Catholic Radio, and this is called Young Adults and Mental Health. But this is such an important topic because the need today for healing, the need today to have Jesus within the hearts, minds, and souls of all of us, but of young adults, has never been more aware, more acute than right now. And why is that? I mean, what's the pressure? These students at University of Southern California that you see, why do they feel so much pressure?
Well, I think nationally what we're seeing is the pressure, I believe, comes from we're inundated every day. We're inundated by the internet and social media with the news, continuously seeing loss and trauma and injustice and just a lot of suffering. And because we can get it quickly, and because I believe a lot of young adults are looking on to their phones and on social media, we get it more quickly. So I give the example of you go on Instagram and you want to look at pictures of friends or family, but there you are inundated on Facebook or Instagram of the news and information that maybe you wouldn't want to see or don't choose to see. So it's always there in front of us. So I'm always telling young adults we need to make decisions on how to take care of ourselves because it's very fast paced with this technology that is wonderful in so many ways, but it can also cause a lot of distress.
And there's always this looking at what's going on Instagram or Facebook or whatever, Snapchat or whatever social media a vehicle that you're looking at. And, you know, I'd look at those and I'm just saying, oh, well, why not me? I mean, these smiling faces, these happy faces, these people having fun, and I don't necessarily feel part of that. So there's this constant always judging yourself maybe or comparing yourself to other people where you feel inadequate.
That's right. I do a lot of talks on campus, and one of the things I talk about is what is your relationship with social media? Because that really can add stress to our mental health and to our daily life. So when I say what is your relationship, what I mean by that is your self-worth or self-esteem associated with the amount of likes you get? If it is, we're in trouble. And so
sign me up.
So we want to put things out there, but if we are attaching my worth and how I feel about myself, depending on how others respond, then we're needing something externally to feed us. And we need to come from within, whether that's our faith, whether that's what I feel about myself, kind of that deep sense. And so when we compare ourselves, and we're all guilty of this, but I do see this a lot more with young adults, of quickly comparing myself. Of the example is I'm home on a Friday night, not doing anything, and I'm there on social media, seeing everyone having fun. What's wrong with me? I'm not good enough, really personalizing it. And that's where we get into trouble, is we compare ourselves. And so my question is do we put our worst day on social media?
There's no question about that. And the answer, of course, is no.
That's
like,
right.
It's like Christmas letters, right?
Yes.
You know, I read these Christmas letters and I just go, you got to be kidding me. You
that's
know,
right.
My son has won the Nobel Prize and on and on and on. So I do have a very important question to ask you, though. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. Will you bill me after my own therapy needs here? Because, you know, we all know we have them. Okay. Enough on that. So the bottom line is that we have this fast-moving world, but there's also a world of unbelievable pressure. I mean, University of Southern California, where you are a psychologist there and an associate professor of psychiatry and the behavioral sciences, is not exactly inexpensive, or most colleges are certainly very expensive,
mm-hmm.
with tremendous pressure if I'm paying for it, my parents are paying for it, whatever, mm-hmm. student loans.
Right.
Boy, I'm going to have to get something out of this, and I better do well.
Right, right. Yeah, and I think, you know, we see this emerge in the early years. Okay, so I recently, or a while ago, did a talk actually at my daughter's elementary school about how to parent and be resilient and raise resilient, thriving children. And so it starts early. And so we really, I think, you know, when we see students that have a hard time thriving or being resilient and bouncing back from loss and disappointment, we see that that didn't come from anywhere. It may probably more than likely had come from the early years. And so I believe as parents, and speaking as a parent right now, we have to protect them from these high expectations that sometimes our educational system puts on them, or what they're seeing in the media, or just the messages that they're internalizing or bringing in, because we're just inundated with that no matter how old we are. So really, when we get to young adulthood and we step away from our family and we are trying to become our own and find our interests and our passions and our identity, that's an incredibly vulnerable stage. Incredibly vulnerable. We may have a different environment. We may have fewer support systems. We have to put ourselves out there. So that's where we see that it then becomes difficult if we don't have those foundational solid skills of being resilient and bouncing back from loss and disappointment. Because what I say to people is, we all have loss and disappointment. Some days there's more than others, but it's constant. And so it's how we respond and react and how we perceive it that will make or break kind of how we get through it.
It's really the skills and tools that we have.
That's right.
And we don't necessarily learn them
That's
along
right.
the way.
That's right.
You
That's
know,
right.
It's and we certainly don't learn them necessarily from our friends
mm-hmm.
or from our family. And many of us grew up in a family. This is where the therapy comes in again.
Okay.
Many of us grew up in a family like I did, for example, where you felt like you had to be perfect. You know, you had to do everything just right.
That's right.
Otherwise, you didn't get recognition or
right.
praise or whatever.
Right.
And you got criticized. And then that just makes you driven, and which is not all bad, but certainly it is if it becomes dysfunctional. Certainly the people in the environment of University of Southern California and many colleges, not just them, many of them come from more upper middle class to upper middle class or even beyond that, families in which there's tremendous pressure and expectations for them.
Yeah, and I think we have to remember, too, in terms of even if we're not learning the skills on how to kind of bounce back from disappointment and loss, think of all the messages that we all get. We're inundated with the media in terms of being perfect. So, you know, we see celebrities and very famous people. They don't talk about their worst days, just like on social media, people don't talk about their struggles. And I was really fortunate to work with a student that helped push out something called #HalfTheStory. And what that is that there are a lot of young adults out there saying, you know what we put on social media, too many of us are comparing themselves, and it's just half my story. It's only half the story. And so the #HalfTheStory is wonderful in terms of to give an outlet and an avenue for people to talk about their sufferings, their struggles, their stress. That's more realistic.
This is Deacon Steve Greco. We are on Powered by the Spirit with Kelly Greco, Associate Professor of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences at the University of Southern California. We're going to be right back to talk more about young adults and mental health. Please come back and let other people know to listen in here. This is an extremely important show. Be right back.
Well, it's that time of year for us Catholics all around the world. It is Lent, and that means, as is tradition, we are here with Wahoo's co-founder, Wing Lam. And Wing, tell us about what you have for us this year.
Well, Mike, what better way to observe Lent than by having some fish tacos on Fridays? And this year, we got some crispy ones waiting for you. Something a little bit different. We've been grilling using Cajun spices. Now we got something a little more crispy for you to try out during Lent.
If it's Fridays and it's Lent, it's got to be Wahoo's fish taco. Thanks, Wing.
Thank you, Mike. We'll see you at the stores.
Would you like an opportunity to read and discuss inspiring books by bright Catholic authors? The OC Catholic Book Club offers quarterly book titles reviewed and chosen by Bishop Kevin Vann. Every 3 months, members gather to meet the author and hear informed commentary about the book by local church scholars. Membership in the OC Catholic Book Club includes 4 books and tickets to the author forums. For more information, visit occatholic.com/oc-catholic-book-club or call 714-282-3045.
Hi, everyone. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We are here on Empowered by the Spirit with Kelly Greco, who is a psychologist, associate professor of psychiatry and behavioral sciences at the University of Southern California. And we are focusing on young adults and mental health. But before we get moving in other directions as it relates to the critical nature of where things are in today's world, you had mentioned your daughter and speaking at elementary school. You have 2 daughters, correct?
Yes.
And are they both soccer stars or just the one?
Actually, both. I mean, one is has more experience, but the other one wants to keep up with her. So
exactly.
Yeah.
But you have a soccer scoring machine. Right.
I'm very proud of her. Yes. But again, I try to balance that of not needing to be perfect and not getting, you know, feeling good about if I make a goal or not. And so it's interesting. I mean, how I respond, and I've been coached by some of my fellow colleagues about this, that how you respond after games is really important.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. And it's not so much a focus on you were the star, but just the attitude of what they did during the game and all that, all kinds of
and
things.
Having fun.
And having fun. The old having fun. I love that part.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I think, you know, we're around, our ministry is Spirit-Filled Hearts, and you can check us out at spiritfilledhearts.org. We're about evangelization in our ministry. We're about a new life in Jesus Christ, abundant living. We're about the fact that Jesus called us to be a new creation in him. And to be a new creation means that you are a new wineskin, all things are new, and that we are filled with the hope, with the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, all of those things. So as we think about where mental health is and where spirituality is with young adults in college, that's often not a high priority as they think about faith, but they're thinking about, well, I better get great grades.
Right.
I've spent all this money or my parents or whatever. I have all these loans.
Right.
And what I get in interfacing with them, it's like worry.
Yes.
Worry. Worry about grades, but worry about the future. What am I going to do?
That's right.
Can I get in? Because it's not just now in the college.
Right.
Everyone has to get in the graduate school. Everyone has to get the advanced degree.
Right.
Everyone has to get that great job. The competition is so amazing. How do we put the importance of balance, the importance of putting things in perspective, and the importance of faith? How does that all come together under that kind of pressure?
Yeah, well, I think the first thing that comes to mind is when we think about thriving, which is kind of the ultimate in terms of being growing continuously and having positive relationships and being very curious in life. You know, positive relationships is what helps us get through the bad times as well as our faith. And I think, you know, it's really important in terms of to look at how can I develop positive relationships? And it starts with us. You know, again, we externalize, and I believe with young adults, this comes from, as a young adult, you lack the life experiences like someone like you or I have now. If something happens in our life, we're like, you know what, that happened a year ago, 5 years ago, 10 years ago, I'm going to be okay. So they don't have that, because it's the first romantic breakup with their partner. It's the first, I didn't get this internship, I didn't get this good grade, I didn't get this job opportunity, I didn't get into this organization, you know, club activity, so forth. So it's a lot of firsts. And so when someone older says, it's going to be okay, it's hard for them to feel that, I believe, because they don't have that life experience that you and I have. When we can look back and go, I got through that and I'm going to get through this. So that's why in terms of we have to really look at what we say to ourselves. So who do we attach ourselves to in terms of relationships, how we feel about ourselves, and creating a plan of action to deal with stress.
And it's so important, my brothers and sisters, to have that attitude of trust. When we think about where we are in our faith life, our relationships with Christ, to what extent are we praying at all? To what extent do we let God take over our life and have that relationship with Him? I mentioned Ephesians 4 before, and I want to go back to it. Ephesians 4, starting at verse 4, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I shall say it again, rejoice. Your kindness should be known to all. The Lord is near. Have no anxiety at all, but in everything, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, make your requests known to God. Then the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is gracious, if there's any excellence and anything worthy of praise, think about these things." So the mindset, and we see this also in 2 Corinthians 10:5, where we talk about the battlefield of the mind and taking mm-hmm. every thought captive
right.
and obedience.
Mm-hmm.
It all starts in the mind.
It does.
Know? It's just like all of a sudden you get these thoughts about fear.
Yep.
False evidence appearing real. I'm never going to be any good. I'm going to be a failure. I am a failure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm never going to get that job. You know, I didn't get the internship. I didn't get the A in the class I thought I was going to get. You know, on and on and on. And it's this fear and anxiety that starts taking over. And when that continues unchecked, it can lead to disastrous results.
Mm-hmm. I like what you said, unchecked. And that's what we need to do, is we need to check ourselves and we need to be aware. So many psychologists like myself, in terms of, you look at, how are you talking to yourself? What are the thoughts? What are you saying? And your next question is, what is the evidence that you have? Right? Basic kind of, you know, as we look at kind of looking at our cognitive functioning, what is the evidence? And many times you'll ask someone, what's the evidence that you're going to fail? Did you ever fail at this? And they're like, no, I haven't. Or if I did, I was able to rebound or bounce back. I like what you said in terms of, we have to really be aware. And that is the first process, is to be aware of our thoughts. Because like you said earlier, there's not enough attention. There's attention to grades and excelling and accomplishments. But really, it's, we need to look at how am I talking to myself, what am I saying, and what's the evidence that that's true? And if something does happen, how am I going to cope with it? What is my plan?
My brothers and sisters, we are on Empowered by the Spirit with Kelly Greco, Associate Professor of Psychiatry and Behavioral Sciences at USC. And we're talking about young adults and mental health. And we're talking about how Jesus wants us to have an abundant life. Part of that, having that abundant life, is taking a look at 1 Thessalonians 5:17 and following, actually starting in 16, "Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in all circumstances give thanks, for this the will for you in Christ Jesus." You had said something earlier about the fact that we don't necessarily have the experience when we're younger to say, well, things are going to work out.
Yeah.
You know, that just hang in there. You've got past a problem in the past. You'll get past this problem. I often will say in my talks, do you remember what your biggest problem was 5 years ago? And 95% of the people go, no. Well, at the time, you thought it was insurmountable.
That's right.
But you got past it.
That's right.
You know, so it's like, stay the course. You're going to get past this challenge too.
Right. And I think the important thing is that, even though you may not feel that I'm going to get past it, or I don't feel like I'm going to be okay, that you tell yourself that. So I always give the example, because I give a lot of presentations. And so I give the example of, many times I'm very nervous or anxious. And if I don't feel like I'm going to be okay in the presentation, I still tell myself I am, because what you tell yourself is eventually you're going to feel it. And you have to fill your mind with those thoughts, even if you don't believe it. Because the more you say it, the more you will believe it. And then that impacts your behavior. So if I feel like I'm not good enough, a lot of my behaviors and a lot of my decision making may be part of that thought process and believing that.
So over the years, we created these 10 points called attributes of a winner.
Mm.
And I gave it so many talks on it to my various people I worked with, salespeople, managers, and so forth. And it really relates to that is whatever we think about, we become.
Yes.
It's a self-fulfilling prophecy.
That's right.
That if you see yourself, quote, successful, if you see yourself having blessings from God, you obviously have blessings, but you have to open it up
right.
to receive the blessings.
Right.
And knowing that you have it.
Right.
To see yourself as someone who is, quote, successful.
Right.
That things are going to work out. And when that happens, it is like a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Yeah, there are many things in our life that do then become a self-fulfilling prophecy. And a lot of times it's because we avoid. Okay, there's a quote that I use a lot when I give talks from Virginia Woolf, and it was, "You cannot find peace by avoiding life." So it really speaks to some of the things that you were saying previously about anxiety and fear and so forth. We all tend to avoid if we're fearful of something. And we don't want to be vulnerable. We don't want to be judged. We're fear of failing. I'm not good enough. So the more we avoid, the more it becomes self-fulfilling prophecy and a bigger problem. Because if we take that opportunity and embrace something that we're fearful of, we then master the skills of how to then push through that fear and anxiety.
Okay, this is where you're going to start charging me again.
Okay. I'm very expensive, by the way.
Someone that you know very well, your father and I, would often talk about numbing it out, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'd ask a question about childhood or this and that. I don't know. You know, it's like I blocked it out. I numbed it out. And so many people, you mentioned avoidance, rather than dealing with it head on, they want to just bury it.
That's
they,
right.
They bury it, but it comes out in different ways.
That's right. I say, you know, when I'm speaking to others in terms of it will come out in other ways. So if I'm not acknowledging it emotionally, it will come out physically, right? Headaches, stomach aches, GI issues, back pain. It all will come out physically in some way. Or I will, you know, you'll snap and say something you regret or be more irritable. So again, I always, it's like that image when you shake a soda can and then you open it and it just explodes. So it's going to manifest in some way. And so that's why I really feel that it's so important that we teach young adults of how to identify their emotions and give themselves permission to feel what they feel, because they avoid it because it doesn't feel good, right? None of us want to be angry or irritable or stressed or sad. But when we move towards it with coping skills and support, that's how we then get through it.
It's so important, my brothers and sisters, to understand how much God loves you and that He wants you to have this abundant life, this life of joy, this life of love. But in order to do that, He says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." And what is the truth? The truth is, deal with reality.
That's right.
Deal with where things are and get it up. You know, we have a saying called light it up. Light it up.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, just thought, I'm going to light up where I'm feeling right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to condemn you or someone else, but I'm just going to say, for me right now, I'm struggling with this.
Right.
And we light it up with ourselves, with other people, not to, again, blame them, but more saying, what you did impacted my feeling in this way, and I just want to express it and get it off my chest type thing.
Yeah, acceptance with reality is one of the stages that I do when I do my talks a lot about those that are resilient. They eventually come to that acceptance stage, right? And even in the stages of grief, I mean, acceptance is the ultimate with grief or loss, but it doesn't come quickly. And that's what we have to remind young adults, especially, because they can get things quickly. You just Google it. It comes quick and fast. But this is a process. It can't be fixed. We have to be patient and kind to ourselves. We have to seek out from our faith. And so it is a process, and acceptance is a real key.
We'll be right back with Kelly Greco to talk more about mental health in young adults. And we're going to talk about the role of encouragement. So come right back with us. This is Deacon Steve Greco on Empowered by the Spirit. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Breaking news! A new and very special guest has been added for our Holy Land cruise this July. None other than Bishop Kevin Vann.
Join Bishop Vann, along with Bishop Tim Fryer, the diocesan choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange, on a pilgrimage to Vatican City and Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise that will take you to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in all of Christendom. Call 877-538-0010 or go online to OCCatholic.com/travel.
Would you like an opportunity to read and discuss inspiring books by bright Catholic authors? The OC Catholic Book Club offers quarterly book titles reviewed and chosen by Bishop Kevin Vann. Every 3 months, members gather to meet the author and hear informed commentary about the book by local church scholars. Membership in the OC Catholic Book Club includes 4 books and tickets to the author forums. For more information, visit OCCatholic.com/OC-Catholic-Book-Club or call 714-282-3045.
This is Dick and Steve Greco. We're back on Empowered by the Spirit, high atop the Tower of Hope here at beautiful Christ Cathedral, with a very, very, very important topic of young adults and mental health. A very special person, Kelly Greco, Associate Professor of Psychiatry and the Behavioral Sciences at University of Southern California. She is a psychologist who works with young adults and really this whole area of the stress and pressure that they go through, having them understand the importance that it's okay to feel that way, but you've got to do something about it.
That's right. You have to have a plan of action. You have to have strategy. So I always tell students, I joke with them sometimes when I'm speaking to large groups of, you know, if students put the amount of time and energy that they did to their academics, to their own mental health, it would be a different experience for many people. And, you know, I'm just as guilty of this, too, in terms of maybe you're not prioritizing sleep or, you know, really thinking about what you're thinking and how you're taking care of your mind and your just well-being. So it's quick to, again, disregard that, but it's so important on a daily basis to have it right in front of you and make decisions to prioritize the mental health, whether it's your sleep, your eating, your thoughts, and just looking at what's my strategy to tackle life's suffering, my disappointments, my losses. We all have them. But again, those that really thrive and those that really come out of it on the other side have a plan of action, have support, and they utilize their resources and they do something about it.
And, you know, just from the very beginning in which you feel like, wow, I'm not right. I'm not happy. I'm not joyful. I'm depressed, or I'm certainly anxious. I'm worried all the time. Something's wrong. It's okay to say, guess what? You're going through an issue, a trial and so forth, but to forgive yourself for not being perfect.
Right.
And to understand that everyone goes through this, because so many times people think it's only me.
Mm-hmm. And I worry that many, especially young adults, worry in silence, right? So many college counseling centers like ours at USC have wonderful group therapy. And that's the power of group therapy, because it's validating and you're with a group of people that are saying, I'm going through the same thing, or that happened to me. So when we open ourselves up and become vulnerable to others, that's where we get the validation. But that's what people, especially young adults, may struggle with, is that vulnerability. I'm afraid of being judged. I'm afraid of what they're going to say. But we have to take that step of being vulnerable, even if it's stressful.
Now, our show, Empowered by the Spirit, obviously is based upon the fact that the Holy Spirit is the game changer. Through Jesus Christ, it's having the Holy Spirit take over your life, being this new creation. And what the Holy Spirit leads us to is this love and joy and peace and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. But there's another important concept that's really tied into mental health. For everyone listening, that you have a role in helping one another, helping yourself, but helping other people in mental health, by this very powerful word, and that's encouragement. As we take a look at 1 Thessalonians 5:11, it says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, as indeed you do.
Mm-hmm.
I can't begin to say enough about the concept of encouragement. This is for the parents, for grandparents, for friends, for young adults who are listening in, to encourage one another, to encourage, whether it be a young adult or not. But young adults, we all need encouragement. Young adults need encouragement so that they understand it's okay. But we can encourage them that, you know, they're not so, you know, off track that, you know, the sky is falling in, but just to be that positive influence in their life.
Mm-hmm. And I think we have to validate that what they're going through is what they're going through. It is what it is. Not passing judgment, having them feel safe. And one of the best questions I think we can ask is, how can I support you? What do you need? And it may be like, I don't know what I need. But a lot of times we approach young adults, especially if we're older, like myself, of, well, this happened to me, or this is what you should do. And we have to sit and listen and help them acknowledge what they're feeling and validate that without judgment. Because if the more experiences they have of that, they will then continuously do, which will serve them well. And to really talk about, how can I support you right now?
And let's really think about that. How can we support those around us, our children, our grandchildren, young adults, and each other? Well, it starts by letting them know that they're loved.
That's right. Unconditionally.
Unconditionally.
I think that's the ultimate.
That they don't have to have this performance, that it doesn't matter that they didn't get straight A's or that they didn't get the internship,
right,
whatever it is.
Right.
But to then also have them feel loved, by far the most important. But then, and this is where, again, stepping out in faith, is to pray for them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they may not want you to pray over them. They may not want that, maybe be embarrassed. And you can certainly ask them and give them, ask for permission to say, would you mind if I pray with you right now?
Mm-hmm.
Pray for what you're going through.
Right.
And certainly to let them know that you're going to continue to pray for them. And
right.
Maybe send them a text or whatever it is.
Right.
Hey, just thinking about you, praying for you, offering up a rosary to you, for you, offering up a mass for you, whatever it might be. And that makes a big difference.
Yeah, it does. And I like what you said in terms of giving, asking for permission. Of, I feel a lot of times we are doing onto others what we think they need or what they should get. And again, it comes back of asking for permission and asking for what they need, and really helping them, because it's about being authentic, about the unconditional acceptance and, can I be who I really am and show all my vulnerabilities, my strengths, my growth edges, because that's the ultimate. And I think that unconditional love and acceptance is ideal. And I think for young adults, that's difficult, right? Because in our faith, we're saying Jesus and God loves you unconditionally. But then as a young adult, a lot of times you're struggling with, but it's hard to love myself unconditionally. And how do I do that?
Why is it so much more difficult? Here's the therapy again.
Okay.
My bill is just going up through the roof. I think I'm at like at $500 so far. I don't know. How about a dinner out, though?
You know, there you go.
There you go. But why is it so much easier for me to love you, to love someone else?
Great question.
Than love myself.
What I find myself saying to a lot of people is, do you treat yourself how you would treat others? And more than likely, they're saying no. What I say to myself, I'd never say to a friend, a loved one. We're just so critical, and we've got to stop that in terms of, and how we stop it is awareness and being conscious of it and talking about it and looking at having the skills of how we look at changing our thought process. But yeah, and also kind of going on what you're saying, it's easier to love someone too in terms of that, you know, you may have similar interests or that someone is being vulnerable. So we really need to kind of look at, are we showing unconditional love and acceptance to that individual?
You know, so many times, again, I can look at someone, I see the good in someone.
Right.
And yeah, they have things that aren't so good and brokenness and challenges. But I kind of look past that, you know, for the most part, and look at their potential. But for me, it's like, well, I should have known better. I should be better.
Those are the should statements.
The should statements.
Well, you say you're shitting yourself.
Wait a minute. Do we bleep that out? I'm not sure. You're shitting yourself. I think we're okay on that. All right. Is that a copyright? You know, is that a Kelly Greco copyright?
No, that's, you know, in terms of a cognitive distortion of the should statements, like setting the expectation. So
I was looking for a revenue source here, though, you know, copyright. Shitting yourself.
No, this is not from me. This is from, you know.
A book? Shitting yourself?
These are from, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, but these are from therapy.
It's so true, right? I mean, I should do this. I should be better. I should lose weight. I should be, you know, more positive. I should have gotten that job. I should have gotten promoted. I should have gotten the A. I should have whatever it might be. I should be married by now, you know, on and on.
That's what you
And hear. Why is that such a disaster?
Because you are putting expectation on yourself and you're not accepting where you are. So again, going back to what we talked about, you're not accepting reality, right? So maybe I didn't get an A or didn't get that opportunity. And so you're putting pressure on yourself. And maybe you didn't know things in the past and now you know new things. You have new kind of data. So that's not fair to yourself. And so it's really putting high expectations, which then just leads to distress and guilt and disappointment and a lot of other negative emotions. And so, you know, that's why, you know, people that do a lot of cognitive behavioral therapy, they're looking at the thought process and some of these cognitive distortions that we're talking about today.
This is Deacon Steve Greco. We are with Kelly Greco, the Associate Professor of Psychiatry and the Behavioral Sciences at the University of Southern California. She is a psychologist, a wonderful psychologist. We're talking about young adults and mental health and all the so many challenges associated with that. And it's this having to feel like you are just on top of the world all the time. The weight of the world sometimes comes upon you.
That's right.
And then you get into this mindset of, well, my parents really don't know what's happening to me and I don't want to tell them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't want to tell those closest to me that mm-hmm. believe in me what really is happening.
Or what I'm feeling or what I'm thinking.
But one of the critical aspects that I want to share with everyone is that it is about a journey.
That's right.
Not about a single destination.
That's right.
It's a journey, my brothers and sisters. God is journeying with us. Jesus journeying with us so that in that journey, we're going to trip and fall.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to have things that are not what we want,
mm-hmm.
but we learn from it. All things work for good. Romans 8:28, all things work for good for he or she who are called according to the purpose of what God has in store for you. All things will work for good. And so understanding the fact that we're on a journey is a really important part of mental health,
right?
And realizing the fact that on this journey, I'm actually stronger because things didn't work out.
Right. But again, we find that out right at the end, not at the beginning, right? So that's why we have to help support and validate and, again, really look at how am I going to cope? I mean, those that are resilient look at a disappointment or losses is what can I learn from this? Now that doesn't happen quickly. You got to go through the grief. You got to go through the sadness, the anger, whatever's coming up for you. You have an emotional reaction, but you don't stay stuck there. That's the difference. You don't stay stuck. You eventually either kind of talk yourself out of it or have your support systems or have your faith kind of bring you out of that emotional state and say, you know what? How can I problem solve? And that's what I see that's lacking is that they're not problem solving and kind of looking at what can I learn from this?
This is so critical, my brothers and sisters. The reason why you're listening in is to understand how much God loves you and that he wants to give you the tools to have that positive mental attitude, positive mental health. We're talking about young adults and mental health, but it certainly applies to all of us. And winning that battlefield of the mind, we're going to be right back to talk more about how we can win that battle of thoughts in which the enemy wants us immobilized, paralyzed with negativity, but Jesus wants to set us free. This is Deacon Steve Greco. We're on Powered by the Spirit. We'll be right back.
Well, it's that time of year for us Catholics all around the world. It is Lent, and that means, as is tradition, we are here with Wahoo's co-founder, Wing Lam. And Wing, tell us about what you have for us this year.
Well, Mike, what better way to observe Lent than by having some fish tacos on Friday? And this year, we got some crispy ones waiting for you. Something a little bit different. We've been grilling using Cajun spices. Now we got something a little more crispy for you to try out during Lent.
If it's Fridays and it's Lent, it's got to be Wahoo's fish taco. Thanks, Wing.
Thank you, Mike. We'll see you at the stores.
Underwritten by the Roman Catholic Diocese of Orange, a community of 1.3 million Catholic faithful on a journey of faith together.
Breaking news! A new and very special guest has been added for our Holy Land Cruise this July. None other than Bishop Kevin Vann.
Join Bishop Vann, along with Bishop Tim Fryer, the diocesan choir, and priests from throughout the Diocese of Orange on a pilgrimage to Vatican City and Rome, followed by a Mediterranean cruise that will take you to some of the most beautiful and historic sites in all of Christendom. Call 877-538-0010 or go online to occatholic.com/travel.
We are back on Empowered by the Spirit. This is Deacon Steve Greco with Kelly Greco, a psychologist at University of Southern California. And we were talking about the critical subject of mental health with young adults, but really applies to all of us. And right before the break and throughout this session, we've been talking about controlling the thoughts of your mind. Let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 10:5 and following. Every pretense raising itself against the knowledge of God, to take every thought captive in obedience to Christ and to punish every disobedience. To take every thought captive in obedience to Christ is so important, my brothers and sisters, is to take those thoughts and let God just come within your heart, soul, mind, and just really change you into hope, into trust, into believing, which is really relating to coping skills. And as we think about young adults that perhaps don't have a lot of coping skills because they don't have life experiences, but everyone listening today needs skills when these negative thoughts come into our hearts and minds and we're dwelling on them. It's often been said, are you a 15-second Christian, 30-second Christian, one-minute Christian? In other words, to what extent are you letting positive thoughts impact you or negative thoughts impact you? Are you moving towards God, which is consolation and Ignatian spirituality, or away from God, which, again, is something that is going to bring you down? So tell us about these coping skills when we are under this attack.
I think the first thing is, like we talked about earlier, we have to be aware. So we have to be aware of our thoughts. Like I said, we have to have a plan of action, a strategy. And so when we feel a lack of control, do we even know it? Okay. Do we even know when we're stressed? So when I speak to students, I say, how do you know you're stressed? A lot of people don't. Oh, I go from 0 to 60. And so that's really important in terms of listening to your body. Where do you feel it in your body? And what are your thoughts? And so, because ultimately we all know this is, you know, kind of basic knowledge in terms of we need to focus on what we can control and let go of what we can't. And we focus too much on what we can't. That's what I see, especially kind of at this stage of development. So I really help kind of look at what do you have control over? You know, your thoughts, your environment, maybe changing your environment, your support. You know, you have resources. Are you utilizing them? You know, control over basic skills like eating and sleeping and exercise. So that's, we need to really kind of look at, do we even know when we feel out of control and when we're stressed?
One of the skill sets and exercises I've done historically, whether it be working with salespeople or other people, doesn't matter, is to take a sheet of paper and on the front side, write down what you like about yourself, what you're proud about yourself.
Yeah.
On the back side, what you don't like about yourself, and kind of see how that goes. And for most people, they'll start with the back side.
Right.
They'll start what they don't like, and they can fill that page up and nothing flat.
Right.
On the front side, about what they like about themselves, Wow. They're lucky to have a couple of things down there, and they struggle writing almost anything down.
That's right. So when we look at that, then if we only have a few things to say as our strengths, then that's some work we need to do on ourselves. We need to be more open, right?
We need to see Kelly Greco. Kelly Greco, who is going to help you. No.
Right. We need to, because that's how we, you know, can move through the stress and our struggles and our sufferings, is knowing what are my strengths, what are my support systems. And we need to know what our strengths are. And if we don't know, we need to open our ears and listen to what others are saying to us.
My brothers and sisters, Jesus has provided the vehicles, the way, the solutions to have this abundant life, this life of love, this life of joy. He didn't mean for us to go alone. He meant for us to have help.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to say, hey, I'm going through this trial right now and I need help. And I need to go see someone. Don't feel like a failure.
Right.
Because you want to see a healthcare professional.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I strongly recommend that when you have these trials and so forth, when at all possible, see a healthcare professional, see a psychologist, see a psychiatrist. Go to a mental health clinic, whatever it might be. There are free clinics, but just don't sit back and do nothing.
Right, because we really, suffering in silence is just going to, you know, make people feel worse and not get what they need and get possibly if they need treatment. And so, you know, I always tell people that are trying to advise someone to get help of, tell them to just give it a try. Just go once or twice, you know, and help people feel in control. Because I think we then put these assumptions of this is going to happen, the person's going to be critical, or I'm going to find this out. But what are their worries about it, their apprehensions, and talking about that and just giving it a try. But it goes back to also, too, in terms of being open to it, and that this could be a solution to help problem solve.
Now, another area, and they will quickly say that they are not trained in mental health to be a psychologist or psychiatrist, but still very helpful is spiritual direction.
Mm-hmm.
And so I would strongly recommend that you ask your pastor, a priest, or Google a great Catholic spiritual director to help you as it relates to your spiritual growth. And often that will help you in terms of your mental state. Reconciliation, very, very important. The sacraments, going to Mass often, adoration. Those are all spiritual tools, reading scripture, prayer, the 15-minute, one-hour prayer, the rosary. Those are all spiritual tools that also help us with our mental health.
Yeah, and I think we have to know what those tools are. I think we have to help, especially young adults, identify that. And utilize that and have conversations of what are the barriers or obstacles of not using those tools and their resources. And, you know, what I say to people is going to a friend and opening up, going to a mental health provider, whatever it is, that vulnerability of opening yourself up is a sign of strength, not weakness. It's a strength.
Right. And that's what's so important is that, and I believe that men often have some bigger issues because of the macho thing. And, mm-hmm. you know, we have men's groups and I often give the analogy that you ask a man, well, how's things going? Tell me what's going on. Oh, I couldn't be better. Perfect marriage, my job, you know, my kids are great, whatever. You go to a woman's group, you ask them what's going on and they'll immediately, ching, you know,
right.
this issue and that issue and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But for men, so many times, They don't want to be vulnerable.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to, it's a sense of humility and they don't want anyone to think that they're not on top of the world.
Right. And they may not want to think that either.
Right.
That may be too scary, too threatening to think that I'm not on top of the world, in addition to fearing that others will judge.
And so it's so important to understand that it's okay.
That's right.
It's okay. It's okay to have those feelings that, well, gee, I'm not sure how I'm going to get out of this. I'm not sure what to do.
Mm-hmm.
But to seek help from other people and just to, again, light it up, to pray and talk to Jesus and say, Lord, I really don't know what I'm going to do. It's kind of when my kids were all teenagers, and I went to church one day. There was nobody in the church during the day, and I prayed, and I said, you know, I say white, and my kids say black. I say green. They say purple. Whatever I feel like, whatever I say is wrong, mm-hmm. what do I do? And God led me to pray the rosary. He also led me to get some mental health and as it relates to going to a psychologist.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, it was kind of that balance between the two, the spiritual help, but also the professional help, because mm-hmm. God has put professionals like yourself on the face of the earth to be able to help us.
Right. That's right. And so, again, it's how do we direct those people to get the help that they need and help them feel vulnerable and help them, even though they don't feel okay, but to create that space where they will be open and can be open and won't feel judged. Because that's typically what most people are fearing is the judgment.
But one of the strengths of mental health, but also a strength and foundation of holiness, is humility.
Mm-hmm.
Is being vulnerable to say, I'm humbling myself that I don't have all the answers.
That's right.
And that's such an important step.
Right. And that I've made mistakes, or I've done things that I'm not proud of, or I feel this negative emotion, or this has happened. And then it comes back to giving yourself permission to feel what you feel and moving through that, and then getting to the place where you integrate that of, what did I learn? What could I do differently?
One of the important thoughts that I want to close with, or as we get close to the end here, is this concept of it's too late for me or I'll never change. That attitude that the enemy puts into your mind is that, oh, you're never going to be any good. Or, you know, you've tried that before. It didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
It won't work.
Mm-hmm.
What would you say to people like that that have that mindset?
You haven't given it a try, so how do you know?
But even if they have and it didn't work, they fell.
Well, then this is a different experience, a different opportunity, right? So you know, like in therapy, it's like, well, therapy didn't work 5 years ago, so why should I go now? Well, you know, what you see with the research, it's about rapport with the therapist. Do you trust them? Do you connect? And so it could work this time, even though it may not have worked last time, or maybe you're more open. Maybe you're in a different space than you were 5 years ago. So I guess my point is there's so many different variables that it's not the exact same experience as before. And so it's important to be open to that and curious and very flexible in terms of, let's give this a try and see if it can be a solution.
And there's no question, my brothers and sisters, those listening in right now to Kelly Greco, psychologist at the University of Southern California, that there's a message that the Lord is giving to you. You may have tried therapy in the past and it didn't work. You may have tried something in the past that didn't work, but today is a new day. You're a new creation.
Mm-hmm.
Today is a new day for you to seek some help from a professional, to seek some help from a spiritual director, to make a difference in your life. Definition of insanity, right, is just keep doing the same thing, expect a different result.
That's right. That's right.
Take that challenge to say, yes, I want to get healthy spiritually, mentally, emotionally, physically, in every way, but to have that healthy mm-hmm. mental health.
And taking that risk may not feel good, and there may be a lot of discomfort, because there is when we're vulnerable. But just because it doesn't feel good doesn't mean that it's not going to work or be right. It's very difficult, but on the other end, great things can come.
It's been so wonderful having you on the show, Kelly.
Oh, thanks.
It's such an awesome, awesome thing for us to talk about the healing and blessing of young adults and mental health. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you. We thank you and praise you for the gift of life, the gift of positive, wonderful mental health, physical health. We ask the Holy Spirit to descend upon all of our listeners, that they be healed in every way, healed of their emotional challenges, healed of mental health issues, healed of their physical issues, and blessed spiritually through the power of the Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, and I bless you in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. We'll be with you next week at the same time.
We're thrilled that you joined us today on Empowered by the Spirit, right here on Relevant Radio. Empowered by the Spirit is a production of Spirit-Filled Hearts Ministry. If you've been encouraged by what you've heard here on Empowered by the Spirit, contact us by email at empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. That's empowered@spiritfilledhearts.org. We look forward to being with you again right here next week on Empowered by the Spirit on Relevant Radio. Now on DVD and digital download, a story about finding truth, meaning, and beauty in the last place they expected.
I can't become Catholic. What am I, insane? There's no way.
A film to encourage your faith and help you reach out to others.
I thought, this is just nonsense. These people are crazy. Atheism is much more rational.
Convinced, featuring over 20 of today's most interesting and articulate Catholic voices, including Jennifer Fulweiler, Scott Hahn, Abby Johnson, and Patrick Madrid. Get convinced now at convincedmovie.com.